We're turning today to the book of Hebrews. Last message that I had from Hebrews was on Hebrews 13, verse 1. Today I'll be preaching on Hebrews 13, 2 and 3. The bulletin has a misprint there. It says chapter 1. It should be chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verses 2 and 3. I'll read verses 1 through 5. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? If you watch any of the popular shows on TV about home renovation, you'll often hear the people that are doing that work talk about having a kitchen in which they can do lots of entertaining. And by that they mean they want this special kitchen and stove and appliances that are right off the showroom floor so that they can have friends over and have a party. And when we use that term entertaining today, you may have that idea of special invitations that are sent out, maybe preparing a special food, getting out the good dishes and the fine china. But when Hebrews talks about entertaining, or some translations use the word hospitality, it has something different in mind. Now don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place for fine dishes and special foods and everything like that. But when Hebrews 13 was written, there was a different concept and a different need that was being addressed. Today I want you to show you how Hebrews 13 gives a practical application of the first verse of this chapter. If you remember back to the sermon last year of Hebrews 13:1, that passage was about letting brotherly love continue. An expression of that then comes in verses 2 and 3. It's an expression of brotherly love to entertain strangers and to care for their needs. And it's an expression of brotherly love to care for those who are suffering imprisonment or mistreatment. They're each a branch of this tree of brotherly love. So I'm going to concentrate especially on hospitality, but draw in what we might call today prison ministry under this heading of brotherly love, and show how hospitality and prison ministry are expressions of brotherly love to others in need. I want to especially urge you to nurture an awareness of the needs that are around you so that you might learn to minister to others in their time of need. So we'll start off with the practice of what has been called by some ordinary hospitality. Ordinary hospitality. That's a term that Rosaria Butterfield uses in some of her writing to describe the practice of hospitality today. It comes from verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. It's the word entertaining strangers that is sometimes translated hospitality, and it's a really fascinating word. There's something of a play on words going on from verse 1 and 2. In verse 1, we concentrated on the brotherly love that is exercised as Christians. And that comes from a compound word that is Philadelphia. And we all know that Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Except if you're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, you know that Philadelphia has no love for Pittsburgh. The word for entertaining strangers sounds a lot like Philadelphia to begin with. It's Philoxenia. And the xenia is strangers. So we have love for strangers. And it really is a fascinating word that leads us to think about what it is to show hospitality or to entertain strangers. How is this love shown? Well, the verse goes on to say that it's expressed as entertaining angels. Now, don't worry, I'm going to come back to the idea of angels. But the idea here is that there is some sense of taking in the stranger into your home to provide some common need that was necessary. Further study about the word and about the New Testament will help you to understand what's happening here. During the New Testament time, if you were going to be traveling on a trip, you couldn't just pull out your smartphone and get onto Airbnb and book yourself a home in Jerusalem or Bethlehem, wherever you were headed. It just wasn't possible. To travel, most likely, you were going to depend on the help that you would have from extended family or possibly from complete strangers who might take you into their home and provide hospitality, the love of strangers. The taking in and caring for the needs of someone who is there in your midst. And furthermore, in the New Testament, in the New Testament period that this letter was written, remember that Hebrews has called attention to the fact that the Jews were suffering persecution at this point. In fact, they were being dispersed because of that persecution. They were having to flee from those who were hunting them down and imprisoning them. And as they were dispersed, they were especially in need of care, especially in need of finding a haven to land. Just think of all of the refugees that are dispersed in our day, of those that are dispersed because of warfare or because of oppression. Same thing was happening in this New Testament era. And that theme of persecution we've seen running through the book of Hebrews. And the most important way to address the threat of persecution has come in the author's real even dogged attention to saying, look to Jesus. Just over and over and over again, he has showed how great Jesus is. And he's in the midst of that persecution, he is coming back to that theme over and over again. But he has also shown how Christ has mercifully set you in the context of a church and how the context of the body of Christ ministers to you in your time of need. And that context is what's happening here in Hebrews chapter 13. He says, let brotherly love continue. And it's talking about the nature of the interactions that we have as a church. And then one specific application of that is to say, there are needs among your brothers and sisters right now among you that you can care for in some of the most common, ordinary ways by providing food and shelter to those who need it. And Christ has mercifully set you into that type of context. The minister is spiritually calling you and urging you and reminding you of your hope in Jesus Christ while at the same time ministering to spiritual and physical needs that are shared by a body, by a group that is connected and cares for each other. This is what the love of strangers is about. If you allow me a personal illustration of this, it has been often said that Eastern cultures have really caught hold of this idea of the care for the stranger. It happens especially in the idea of providing food or hospitality, even to enemies. It's really an interesting study in Eastern cultures. Well, we experienced some of this when we lived in China. In God's providence, it seems like when we got to places where there were just very practical needs, it always seemed that the Lord had someone there that said, "Can I help you?" It came down to somebody speaking English after midnight at a hotel, as we were trying to get Liz checked into a hotel and a place where no one was speaking English. And just at the right time, there was someone who came and said, "Can I help you?" They were loving the stranger. And I'll never forget a young Pakistan man who I struck up a conversation with on a bus. As we got off the bus at the campus, he said, come with me. And I went with him, and he took me to a Pakistani restaurant, and he treated me to tea and cakes. And he said, if I apologize that my hospitality is so meager. If I were at home, I would have you and your family come and eat with me. It's inculcated into that Eastern culture to love the stranger. And it's that type of love that is hospitality. Now, I'm using that term again, and I'm hoping that the idea of hospitality in Western culture is not influencing your thought. I'm going to guess that it is, though. I'm going to guess that when I say hospitality, you start to think of, oh, what do I have to do to clean my house, to shop, to make sure that the china is ready to go, to plan out to the evening's entertainment. And you think of all of these hard things that need to be done so that you can show hospitality. But that's not biblical hospitality. That's not what Hebrews 13 has in mind. It has in mind something that is very ordinary. Now, it might sometimes have special food and dishes, a Thanksgiving meal that you invite others into your home and internationals to share. It might have significance on certain days. But more likely is that opportunity to invite someone to share in what it would be common to your daily practice. Something that would be an ordinary meal, or to rest in very humble accommodations. It might appear very mundane to our American experience. Very ordinary. And yet, ordinary is often just what is needed. It's just what is needed. It shows love to someone who is in need. And for the stranger who is traveling, it may take the form of a meal and a bed. Something similar is happening in verse 3. There's someone who is in need in verse 3 as well. Verse 3 talks about those who are imprisoned, those who have suffered mistreatment. This is another application of letting brotherly love continue. It's the practice of what I'll call ordinary prison ministry. I use that term with a little bit of a smile because we have also kind of crafted a fairly large, organized sense of prison ministry. And that has a very important role, I think, in our society today. But what was happening, again, in New Testament era is a little bit different. What would happen when someone was thrown in prison in New Testament era was that the support that that prisoner had was very minimal. That person probably came to depend upon family members or friends who might provide food and clothing, might remember them while they are imprisoned and provide for them. Well, in this case, there is brotherly love that is happening. Remember again the persecution that the Jews were, or that the Christians were facing at this point. Not only were they being dispersed, but some of them were literally being thrown into prison for their faith. And so out of brotherly love, they were showing concern for the needs that were right there in their midst. They reached out to fellow members. They remembered them as if they were in chains with them. They remembered them as part of the body of Christ. In fact, that's what verse 3 says, to remember that you too are a part of this same body. Here are brothers and sisters in Christ, your brothers and sisters spiritually, who are suffering. And as a body, as one suffers, the rest of the body takes up that suffering as well and feels the same thing. So as members of the same body, there is a reaching out to those who are suffering imprisonment and identifying mistreatment and addressing that as far as humanly possible. It shows love to those who suffer. These applications, these two very direct applications of brotherly love, are so important that the author says, do not forget them. Remember them. In both cases, that of the stranger and the prisoner, you find the exhortation of brotherly love continue added to with the imperative, don't forget this. This is an important application of it. They urge you to not forget and to remember. By doing so, the Bible uncovers something very uncomfortable. It uncovers our tendency to be so self-absorbed that we forget the needs of those that are around us. We have eyes only for ourselves and for what's on our agenda today. And we make sure that we order our lives so that we are taken care of. And we can become so consumed with that that we don't see anybody else. In fact, we can even feed that passion through social media and call attention to what I'm doing. And we'll go back and check and see how many people have noticed and how many likes we have. And it's that self-absorption and caring for ourselves that often blinds us to the needs that are right in our own community. What Hebrews has been doing, though, is been showing you what God has done to redeem you. The Son of God became man to redeem you from your sin. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, out of love, covenanted even before the world was created to save you from your sins. And Christ came and accomplished that through a selfless and self-sacrificing love. And in doing so, Jesus takes you who are his enemies and he draws you into the relationship that the Father, Son, and Spirit have had throughout all of eternity, into this bond of love. And you get to share in that. And that relationship has no room for the idolatry of self. It really doesn't. the love that you have received from Jesus Christ, the love of that relationship that you are drawn into, then compels you to show the same type of love to those around you. Christ has loved you and has given himself for you. And out of that then comes this exhortation that I hope that we will joyfully take up. Brothers and sisters, let love continue amongst the congregation. Let brotherly love continue. Pursue it. And think of these two applications of practicing hospitality and remembering the prisoners. And then build on that to see where else the Lord would have you address needs that are around you. And added to that exhortation is this mysterious incentive. And here come the angels, right? So, by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. This would be a great conversation starter over lunch today. Just what does that mean? I'm tempted to leave it for you to discuss amongst yourselves and hear what you come up with. There are a lot of ideas, actually, and a lot of different theories, and I'm just going to go straight to my understanding that it's a literal verse, that some have entertained angels. We have examples of it. Abraham entertained three mysterious figures. He welcomed them into his home. He prepared an ordinary meal for those strangers. He gave them a place to rest, and unwittingly, although he came to understand, he was entertaining a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ and two angels. He was entertaining them in his own home. Well, that would be cool, wouldn't it? And we might gravitate towards catching on to this idea, boy, wouldn't it be great if we could entertain angels? And if you'd stop there, you're kind of missing the point. It's unwittingly, so you can't go out and you look for angels to entertain. It's unwittingly, so that means you're gathering in those who don't appear to be angels to you. But even more to the point, those brothers and sisters in Christ that the Lord has knit you together with are called priests and kings, are called saints, fellow heirs of Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis has put it in a very particular and memorable way. Jeff called this to my mind recently. He said, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. It is immortals that we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors and everlasting splendors. There are no mere mortals. The point is that in brotherly love, in hospitality and ministering to those who are suffering, you are treating those in need as human beings, and for believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Instead of being so self-absorbed so that you are unseeing, what this passage does is I hope and I pray that it motivates you to see what Christ has done for you and to see the community that you live in, the community of the church, and then more broadly, the secular community in which you live. And I'll drive this home by encouraging you to think of different applications that might take place today. I've said that travel is different today and that jail is different today, but human suffering continues in many forms all around you. And by welcoming someone into the ordinary Christian life of your home, or by reaching out to them in ways that remember them and connect with them, you have an opportunity to show brotherly love, Christian love, and to address the needs that are very deep. And I'll just call attention to three and invite you to add to that list in your own thinking and application of this message. The first is loneliness. Rosaria Butterfield observes that hospitality combats the crushing loneliness that too many brothers and sisters in Christ bear by offering a basic care, a meal, a hug, a prayer. Just think how loneliness afflicts those in our society. It afflicts internationals as they move to a new location and they don't know anybody. It afflicts widows. It afflicts those in prison. It afflicts singles. Start simple and devote time to someone to connect with, to develop and to deepen a relationship. You don't even have to have a house or a family to do this. Single members, you can think of your fellow singles that would benefit from a genuine, true friend. Or think of those who are shut in that you can visit. There are lots of ways that you can address loneliness just by being a friend and showing this type of hospitality. Secondly, oppression. I realize that immigration is very complex, but the plight of Christians suffering religious persecution is real. They might be taking flight. They might be mistreated. They might be imprisoned. That doesn't even begin to cover the thousands that are displaced by war or famine or other types of violence. It may be that the Lord would use you or our congregation to help some of those who are suffering oppression. Finally, evangelism. You might say, really? Evangelism? By hospitality? Well, yes. One of my good friends in the denomination, Drew Gordon, observed that it is especially during the times when a culture turns hostile towards Christianity, that the culture turns hostile to Christianity, that hospitality provides one of the cleanest and clearest opportunities to share your faith. By meeting the physical needs of your neighbor, you draw them into an ordinary Christian life of caring for somebody else besides yourself. By interacting with opposing viewpoints over a cup of coffee, you treat that one as a real person with questions that they're wrestling with, rather than treating them as a caricature or an opponent or a project. You treat them as a real person. You show respect to them. They have real needs and real sins and real questions, just like you do. And over a shared ordinary meal, over a walk around Boomer Lake, over a meeting for dessert, you enter into the process of sharing your life, of sharing your faith with those who need to know Jesus. There are many other needs that are that swirl around you. I'll leave you with that important task of prayerfully considering where God has placed you and the needs that are part of your Christian life. Their needs of brothers and sisters in Christ that are around you. And there are needs that your neighbor has. And just who is my neighbor, you might be asking? Well, that's a story for another day. But Jesus held up the Good Samaritan, didn't he? As one who did what? He met the need that came across his path. He showed love to a stranger. In much the same way, hospitality is an expression of brotherly love to others in need. By remembering those who are suffering imprisonment is an expression of brotherly love to those in need. The stranger and the one suffering. So I would urge you to nurture an awareness of those needs around you so that you might minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Well, Lord God, we do thank you for the great work of redemption and the care that you have given to us. Thank you for putting us in the context of a body of believers that does bear one another's burdens and cares for the needs that are expressed. Oh Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for the idolatry of self that makes us so unaware of the needs around us. I pray, oh God, that we as a congregation would be characterized by brotherly love. That you would give us opportunities and the eyes to see and the grace to meet those needs and those around us. And Lord, I also pray that that as we do so, that the witness of Jesus Christ would go out in the community around us. Help us to understand the needs not only of our congregation, but of our community as well. We might address those in the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. I'll invite you to turn to Psalm 146a to close. As you sing the psalm, it is a psalm of praise, and it remarks and calls to mind the ways in which we have been cared for by God. Food, the Lord gives the hungry. Sight, the Lord gives the blind. Freedom to the prisoners. Psalm 146a, please stand to sing.